We are happy that we can be here again, rejoicing in His grace. While this song was sung, my thoughts, of course, went in some kind of direction to all the nations to which the message must be brought. How shall they know? How shall they hear if nobody tells them? How shall they believe if it is not being preached to them? And so we are thankful for the open doors which God has given. In the days of the apostles, such a journey would have taken many years to reach some nations. Today, it's a couple of hours, and one is somewhere in the Far East or wherever it might be. In every way, it is a blessed time of God, which we redeem, which we have to make use of, to at any cost bring this revealed word for this time. And if we then see that this word accomplishes for what God has sent it for, not that we accomplish it, the word accomplishes for what God has sent it for, not a brother who goes out with it, but God who lets the word go forth. He accomplishes through His word for what He is sending it for. Some kind of experiences are coming into one's mind, which touches one's heart, and which let us know how precious God's word has become to the people. And I'm especially grateful to the Lord for the last missionary trips, that He has opened the doors in such a wonderful way. One cannot express it in words, but when a Chinese Baptist preacher full of the Holy Ghost comes, who has read the sermons, and who has read Brother Branham's sermons and my brochures, and he says, "Brother Frank, I just was waiting that you are coming, because it is on my heart to bring to my nation the message of God." That it was also on my heart, he of course could not know. And so God has not only opened one door, but many doors. And also now, when I was now in the north of India, and the man from the city of Nepal, he said, "Brother Frank, if you would only come for 2 days, then you could speak to hundreds of people." And we are waiting for, and we believe that God will send you. Before I departed, now on my February trip, a brother from Kinshasa, from Zaire, came here to Krefeld, and he said, "Brother Frank, you have written us long enough that you will come. Tell us now the dates when you will come, because I cannot go otherwise home but to tell the dates." And so God is opening doors to let His word go forth unto the ends of the earth. And when the songs are singing from China, from Africa, from Siberia, from everywhere, they will come. All whom God calls. But how does God call? God always called by the proclamation of His word. And we in these days, we have seen the difference between the general faith, which many have, and the faith in the promises of God for a specific time, We wanted to make the difference. And I hope that we understood it. Today, we can look through the churches and all believe. Yes, Brother Rus says what they like. But who believes the revealed word from God? As Isaiah says, who believes our message? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore, we are grateful that God has revealed His promises for this time and that He has laid them into our hearts. We know of Mary, it is being said, you found favor before God, and the promise which the Lord has given to you will be fulfilled. And it happened like this. And also we may say that we found grace in the sight of God to see the promises fulfilled which He has given for His people for this time. They will be fulfilled. Not because of your sakes and my sakes, but for Him's sake, that He has spoken and He included us into His plan. We are, of course, a part of the kingdom of God, being born into it by the new birth, into the kingdom of God, to have part in that what God is doing. I told you probably last Wednesday night, when this Methodist bishop in the north of India, 1978 it was probably, in the great meeting in which almost 2,000 people participated, he was there and he heard the message. And then he even saw the film of Brother Branham. Since then, he had a great desire to hear the word of the Lord once more. And he was that man who in his district arranged this great meeting now in February. And he came before the multitude and he said, today we are here to hear what God has to say unto us through the mouth which He determined to bring His word. And I tell you, what happened there, nobody can imagine. And when he said goodbye, he said to me, listen, one thing is on my heart. I will move to another district. Promise me that when you come again, that you then will follow my invitation and come there. Shall I tell you, it's not being puffed up, but the people, they don't offer the people a spiritual food. People are coming into a big church. Probably 800 or 900 people fit into that church. And then they are sitting probably almost maybe 25 people. And when they suddenly see that the house is filled unto the last seat and that the people have to stand and that the word of God goes forth, then they have so much reasoning that they know that here it is more than just to hear a boring sermon, but to receive the spiritual food fresh prepared on the table of the Lord. And the Lord prepares, of course, by grace, He prepares a rich table, and this even in the presence of our enemies. Oh, how many things could be said here, reported of that what God is doing all over the world. but may eternity reveal it. And all the praise and honor belongs anyway to the Lord alone, who works all things in all. This afternoon, I want to be brief, reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 54, the first couple of verses. And all you who open the Bible, you can have a brief look at the last verses of chapter 53. Here it says, from verse 1, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left." Perhaps this word up to here, just that you know that it is connected with the New Testament church, I would like to read the same words from Galatians chapter 4. And then one verse, namely verse 26, taking it. "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which has an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." We already mentioned this word. We read it. And we notice how the apostles in the New Testament were taking it from the old, how they could differentiate between Israel and between the church from the nations, and how they were led by the Spirit of God, setting these things forth. Here it is being said, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitants. Spare not. Why? God wants to add. God will add. And when the singers have sung that a great multitude will come, then it is in agreement with that what God said to Abraham. In reality, he said, "Look up to heaven and count the stars." And then the Lord himself gave the answer and said, "As innumerable as the stars are in heaven and the sand on the seashore, so innumerable will be your descendants." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not die in vain. There will be a great multitude of the redeemed sons and daughters of God entering eternity. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. We are all In the meantime, we are all entrusted with the spare programs of the politicians, but God will never place a spare program. God has the fullness, and out of his fullness we shall draw grace for grace until the end, and we will be grateful for him. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. God is able to do that. And if he has said it in his word, then it takes place without your and my effort. Then we just need to believe that that what he said will be fulfilled, and it shall be given to us. We see that as an example on the natural people of Israel. And we see how they enlarged to the left and right. In every battle, new land was added and won. The same we must also be able to say. And we know that we are in a spiritual battle, not to give away land, but to conquer land, to put our soul of our feet upon the promises of God, according to the word of the Lord, where your soul of foot treads upon, this I will give you. And here we are told in Isaiah 54, verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. With this, God connects a promise to comfort us, to encourage us, and to tell us what can serve us for the strengthening of our faith. I would like to read from the sermon, which is very precious to me, and I hope precious to all of us, and that we understand it, that God had a commissioned mouth through which he has spoken himself, revealing that what we must know. And to this we don't want to add anything, but also we don't want to take anything away from it. It says here in this quote, oh, can you compare a Christian with a Christian of the old times, led by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, walking only to be a prisoner, as I preached it lately, a prisoner of the word and of the will of God. He didn't move until God moved him. Don't you want to see that such a church rises up? She will do it. Returning to the point, it must happen. This is right. It is already at hand. Also a wonderful statement. Paul was not a prisoner of the circumstances. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he says, although I am in chains, yet the word which I preach is not in chains. Just the contrary. The word of him who is a prisoner of Christ can serve for the deliverance of the captives if they believe it and if they hear it. That's how it was in that case of Paul. And I wish some of that, what he and others had. And God is able to give in summary at the end a double portion. This would honor him beyond measure. And I think God is worthy to be honored, not only in words, but also through his mighty deeds. Then we read, he gives the commandments, and you carry them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt. You go forward. When the Lord tells you something, then nobody on the world can stop you. You just go forward like this. Now you come into the perfect faith, into the perfect perfection, which cannot fail. Here one would almost say that it is being said in a double way. When the statement says here, you will come into the perfect faith, into the perfect perfection, which cannot fail. God is perfect. His word is perfect. His doings are perfect. His redemption is perfect. You and I are his perfect work, created in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can look at the smallest baby and you must say, if it has all members, that it is perfect, only not yet complete. And this is what Paul could differentiate, distinguish, when he writes in Philippians, not that I already comprehended or that I'm perfect, but I'm following him because I am comprehended by Christ. Many people, they make troubles about perfection, but as sure as God created us in perfection in the image of Adam, so sure God, by the new birth in Christ, he made us perfect children of God, and there's nothing missing. Of course, we are still in a growth, and we have not reached completion, but we should understand once for all that we are that what God made out of us, as in the natural, so also in the spiritual. And he says here, which cannot fail. This faith can never fail. Faith, which comes from the perfect word under the preaching by the perfect moving of the Holy Spirit in you and me, is not a reasoning of mind, but it is worked by God in you and me. And then all things become possible, and God is waiting for it to confirm this faith. I read, yes, he was a mystery to them. So it is now with them who have the perfect faith. They are a mystery to others. Here, Brother Branham speaks already by faith of the victory crowd which he has seen in the Spirit, which will come to completion, which will have the perfect faith, that they are just a mystery to others, just as the Lord was a mystery to the people at his time. And I would like, by the grace of God, I like to be part of this crowd. And I think God has not addressed us just to give us a hope, but he spoke to us to work faith in us so that he can do the final things amongst his own. I read, to us we were taught to resist the devil and he shall flee from us. To resist means just to show him the way, to resist him. This means just to run away, to walk away. God says something certain. Doesn't matter what Satan then tries to tell you. Don't you listen to him. Your ears are deaf for all the other things, except that what God says. He that has ears to hear, let him understand what the Spirit says unto the churches. This is also a wonderful word. Your ears are deaf for all the other things, only for that what God has spoken, they are open. And not only the natural ears and eyes, but the eyes and the ears and understanding of the heart. I read, notice that the perfect faith is Lord over all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. Doesn't matter what it is. It masters everything. Just pay attention. When you believe something, when you do something, and when you have faith in that, what you're doing, then it doesn't matter how the circumstances might be. This has nothing to do with it. See, he masters all circumstances. This is the faith of which the Lord wants to tell us of that what he spoke of. Notice now, the perfect faith is Lord over all circumstances, Lord in every situation, and whoever has this faith must one day come forth as the victor, because faith is the victory which has overcome the world. And this faith is grounded on the Word of God. I don't know whether Brother Schmidt will forgive me, but when on Wednesday evening, when we're here and when we prayed in closing, we all noticed in what kind of way the Spirit of God came upon him. And the prayer was not something which he was seeking. It was given to him, and it streamed, it flowed out from faith. And it was similar than that what we just read now. It was expressed. What is it? God's Spirit prepares us by faith to speak out the things which shall become reality and which must become reality. If we believe them, then we can speak them out. Because Paul, of course, said very clearly, I believe, therefore I speak. And so, we may believe with all our hearts. Now comes another quote, which we should always remember. Faith and love are related to one another, because you cannot have faith unless you have love, because you believe in a God who is love in nature. Here we have it. We believe in a God who, according to his nature, is love. And if this God, who is love, takes dwelling in us by faith, by the Holy Spirit, then this faith is embedded in this divine love. And then God can manifest himself. It says here, it continues in this text, faith and love work together. Faith and love work together. Goes on, Brother Bram says, love works faith. When Satan tempts us, then we should resist him by the perfect word, in the perfect faith, just as Jesus did it. The word of God is perfect. We shall have the perfect faith in that perfect word to resist Satan. Here the perfect things are put together in a row to show us what is necessary, that the final things which God promised, that they can happen. It continues. Now, if you abide in me through him, he brought you the word, and my words, if my words abide in you, then you walk in the same way as he walked. Power flows out from you. Rivers of blessing from the fountain of God are flowing then just to the people. You see what I mean? You don't pretend. You don't imagine these things. It is happening in reality. And one sees it. If you just imagine it, it doesn't profit. But if it really is there, then it happens in reality. And this is what we would like to have. Not only the imagination of the things, but the things itself. Not only the conversation or the sermon about the confirmation, but the confirmation itself. We now arrived at the point where we are the carriers of the word, crossing over into that what God promised. Long enough, the children of Israel have carried the promises. And then came the time of fulfillment. And you all know, when Caleb, as the only one who 45 years ago went out, he could say, my power, my strength is today at the Exodus just as it was 45 years ago when we spied out the land. 45 years he carried the promise in his heart and he said, I'm ready to go into the battle and ready to return from the battle. He didn't say, I go out, I'm ready to go into battle, and when I fall, you can bury me. No, he had faith to go out into the battle, faith to win, and the faith to return. And what shall be with us? Just the same. The divine fountain will open. And the Lord, of course, promised it. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. He said, he who drinks from that water which I will give him, this will break forth unto him a fountain which flows over into eternal life. All of us, without exception, we are now challenged by God to prove whether we have true faith. And we can just say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us the supplication so that that what you promised, so that you can also let it happen. It continues, when Jesus himself said that the prayer of faith will heal the sick, or they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, then you must have the same perfect trust that you will recover when the hands are laid upon you. Because he said it. This is the mystery of faith. Not that somebody thinks by himself, now when the brothers are coming and when they pray strongly, whether the brothers pray strongly or whether they don't pray at all, and when they just lay hands on you, if you believe that what the Lord has said is true, and if you expect that it happens in that moment, then you can forget everything else, whether one prays loud or silent, praying with anointment or without anointment, doesn't matter. Your faith doesn't depend on that what is being made humanly there, but your faith is anchored in the word of God, in the promise which God has given. You know, in the past 30 years, I experienced many things in this area, and the people are so depending on feelings that one can hardly believe it. What has faith to do with feeling? Feeling is a human reaction. Faith is a divine reaction, an echo of the revealed word of God in your and my heart. So, we must learn to believe as the Lord said it. Here, Brother Branham makes the following statement. Friends, I've seen it. This Bible is open before me. I have seen it. I know that it is the truth. I'm aware of it. God in heaven knows it, that I perhaps may not live so long to finish this message, But I know that it will take place. Many prophets went home. And also this, Brother Branham said many times, how the prophets might have felt, and especially in Isaiah, who prophesied, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And perhaps people came to his deathbed and they said to him, man of God, didn't you speak in the name of the Lord? Didn't you prophesy unto us that a virgin shall conceive and that the Messiah, Emmanuel, shall be born? What do you say now? I believe that Isaiah, on his deathbed, he would have repeated the same words, and he could assure, not I, but God's Spirit spoke through me. It is yes and amen. And at the determined time, the word will be fulfilled. Prophets spoke, and they went home without seeing these things. And therefore, our Lord, as we read yesterday, he said, many prophets and righteous and kings desire to see what you have seen and wanted to hear what you have heard, and they have not seen it. What a privilege had the generation which was alive at the first coming of Christ. What a privilege do we have in this time who we are now living and who can see what God is doing now. He might have taken his prophets home, but that what he spoke, this will and this must take place. Therein our faith is anchored in. And I think that we can thank our God today. We owe him much thanks and worship. And that everyone should open his heart to thank God for the great privilege that we have heard his revealed word and his will, which is revealed in his word, that we have heard it and that we can believe all things. Inasmuch as we believe it, inasmuch as we believe it, we will see the fulfillment of that. May God do his part to the preaching of his word by his grace in my heart and in your heart. We can just bring his word. The rest he himself must do. And I know he is present to do what he promised. And if we would not have to bring anything else and of what we could not pray for, then we could really pray for that what we looked at from God's word and from this sermon, that he will work it in us, that he lets it become reality in us by his grace. And if we believe it, then we will not just pray for it. Then we will thank God for it by faith, thanking him that he fulfilled and given everything. He who just prays and who doesn't speaks it out by faith, as it happened already, to them it cannot be given at all. Therefore, all of this sermon is based upon the text of Mark 11, that we shall believe that the things which you speak out, that really happens, and then it shall be given unto us. If you have faith, then you will be able to say it. Faith is in your heart, and the testimony comes over your lips, and the Lord is honored by it. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and holy name. Amen. Before we pray, let me ask whether we believe with all our hearts what God has said through His Word and through the sermon of Brother Branham, which illuminates the Word. It is nothing else but then God's Word illuminated and revealed through the Holy Spirit. Can we really believe, and can we look away from us, who we are forgetful and weak, looking unto the perfect one, from whom the perfect word came, and He intended to do, to finish His work? Can we today, at this place, on which God's word so many times was addressed to us, in which the rivers of blessing were flowing, and where the Lord has spoken to us, can we believe what He said to us in His word? Then we want to testify of it in this common prayer. And if some brothers want to pray loudly, let us all tune in. But no mouth shall be closed, and no heart, but all, and everyone shall open himself. We owe God thanks. Our lips should bring Him the praise for that what He has done. Let us now do it. And if you almost feel nothing, just begin to thank, and you will feel the power of God. God just wants that we dare to walk by faith, because He spoke with us, and we have heard His word. Let us now together thank. Lord, with us you have spoken. You meant us. I thank you for it. And all who will hear and all who will believe in future. Oh God. Lord, until now we had a general faith. Oh God, now comes the hour and the time in which you want to work perfect faith according to your word, in your promises anchored, and through your spirit working amongst your people, And that what you're doing is perfect. Hallelujah. My God, I'm weak after the spirit, after the flesh, but in the spirit I'm strengthened through your word. It is the word of the hour, the word for the bride. The bridegroom has spoken. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. My God. After we received the perfect revelation of Jesus Christ, the perfect revelation of the mysteries of the Word, my God, we are here now to experience the perfect completion. Oh God, don't let... We are not looking on ourselves. We are looking on you, and we believe as Mary believed and all the others believed. And to us may it be done as you said. Hallelujah. To your wonderful and holy name. Lord, your word has become so great to me. And from the general faith, it brings us into the perfect faith. As you have taken us from the general proclamation into the perfect revelation of your word and will. Lord, many things we could still say, but we want to thank you at this place, that you looked at us in grace. And we worship you in all seriousness for all the brothers, for all the sisters. We pray, which you purchased with your own blood and which are part of your people. As Moses said at that time, not one claw shall remain in Egypt, so not one member which belongs to the body of Jesus Christ remain behind, but may all be put together, making up the body of the Lord, which God will anoint and use to do his final works in the completion. I thank you and I praise you for the connection which we may have with you. Hallelujah. I thank you. Hallelujah. For the power of your blood and of your word and of your spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. To receive all the praise, all the glory, all the worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord.